Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dr. Mordechai Kedar, good morning. Can you hear us this time?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
There we go. Okay, so there's been a lot of confusion around Hezbollah. We obviously know that they're a terror organization, but there was comments that the Arab League had perhaps decided that they weren't. Now they've backtracked. Can you give us the sense of what the approach and what the attitude by the Arab League is to Hezbollah?
Well, today what remained from the Arab world, which is not much because Iraq is totally destroyed, Syria is totally destroyed, Yemen destroyed, Sudan doesn't function, Libya, another dysfunctional country. So who remained in the Arab world? A very small number of countries headed by Saudi Arabia. But don't forget that Saudi Arabia is very much afraid because of the Iranian threat. So since the Iranians are behind Hezbollah wholeheartedly in every issue,
right,
I believe that what happened is with the Arab League is under the pressure of the Iranians, they decided to recognize Hezbollah not as a terror state, but as something much better.
So this, in other words, really what this is a reflection of how Iran dominates the Arab world, because as you said, Iran controls Syria, it controls Lebanon, it controls Yemen, it controls Iraq, and therefore the whole notion of an Arab League of Nations is questionable.
It's not questionable anymore because it is clear that Iran is controlling almost everything in the Middle East of today. And therefore, since Hezbollah is an Iranian project since the early 80s of the last century, they manipulate the Arab world the way they want.
Why do you think that there is very little dialogue and recognition in many parts of the world, including the media, that Iran is controlling the area? The dialogue is very much the most significant influencer in the region. Why do you think there is almost a conspiracy of silence around this?
Look, it started with American President Obama.
Mm.
He was with Iran wholeheartedly, gave them money, gave them the JCPOA in 2015, the nuclear agreement. And for a reason which until today he didn't disclose, he supported them in any possible way. This is what we have to remember, and his time was very good for the Iranians. Trump time was much harder for them, but now, since Biden came to power, they feel much more comfortable to do whatever they like because nobody really gives them the bill for the havoc and mayhem which they spread over the Middle East.
So in other words, they're not, they haven't been held to account, and they haven't really, because they have been allowed to continue. Even the whole situation in Yemen with the Houthis is actually an absurdity, attacking foreign international ships and international waters, and they are pretty much getting a free pass, even though it's known that they are being funded and supported by Iran. Yet Iran is never really held to account for that.
Well, this is the problem, that Iran never received any bill to pay for what they do. Look, what happens actually in the Middle East is the Middle East is full of dysfunctional countries, and on the ruins of these countries, Iran implanted organizations. They're in Iraq, there are some 50 militias, which are pro-Iranians. In Syria, there are 17. In Lebanon, this is Hezbollah. In Yemen, the Houthis. In Gaza Strip was the Hamas and the Islamic Jihad. Mm. This is the diabolic Iranian plan to implant organizations other than states. Why? Because states are bound by the international law. States cannot do whatever they like because states have the United Nations and the Security Council and all kinds of other international devices which make sure that states behave in a normal way, while organizations are exempt from everything. They can do whatever they like. There is no Security Council for organizations like Hezbollah or Hamas or the militias in Syria or in Iraq. They do whatever they like. And this is what Iran did. It took the whole Middle East through organizations, militias, not as a state. And this, and the world is watching it. And in my humble view, today there is already a coalition of states which support it. I mean, Russia and North Korea and China and Iran, and South Africa is part of this coalition in Venezuela. And this is today the coalition which controls large parts of the world vis-a-vis the Western coalition, United States, Canada, Western Europe, Australia maybe, and New Zealand, Israel. And this, these are today the two poles of the world. We actually came back to the Cold War, which we all remember from the 60s and the 70s of the last century.
So there's no doubt that, I mean, you mentioned the Cold War, I think even the Second World War, where you've got the axis of evil, and it's just remarkable how this is all aligning. And the concern here is that even in the event of the Gaza conflict and the Hezbollah conflict being resolved for now, this war is far from over.
Look, the war is today, in my view, it's global. You find it, and the war, it has all kinds of facets. Even the migration is kind of jihad. The migration to Europe and to other parts of the world. These people around us here in the Middle East are thinking in terms of jihad. And jihad is not only by war, by sword. Jihad is by all kinds of other means which are meant to topple the other countries, the other cultures, the other civilizations, and to make sure that only their culture will be the one which runs the world. And this is the mindset of many of them. And each and everyone is a soldier in this jihad.
Absolutely, absolutely frightening. Certainly something that we will no doubt keep an eye on and keep speaking about. That was Dr. Mordechai Kedar. He's a former IDF intelligence officer speaking to us about the approach and the attitude of the Arab League towards Hezbollah and the global impact and that follows.